Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelday providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelday can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelday today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
My name is George. I'm 32 years old, and I have to confess that I'm afraid of elevators. Every time I'm in a building, I have to take the stairs. At first, this brought me some problems with my wife and children, but over time, and after learning the reason for my fear, they got used to it. I know many people with a fear of elevators. Some people's fears come because it's an enclosed space. Others are afraid of the elevator falling down, and some are just afraid for no reason. Whatever the reason for fearing this small place, it hardly compares to mine. I was just 15 years old and coming back from playing soccer with my friends.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At the time, I was still living in an apartment with my parents. Although we were only on the third floor, I never used the stairs. We had an elevator, so why bother? I remember that day was a Thursday, and my friends almost canceled the game because it was cloudy and could rain. I convinced them to go on with the game. Luckily, it didn't rain. As soon as I got home, I stopped the elevator before the doors closed, got in, and pressed the third floor. I hadn't realized until that moment, but next to me on the other side of the elevator was a silhouette standing there, staring at me. The man who was sharing the elevator with me was tall and very skinny, almost skeletal-like. His clothes were torn and very disheveled. It was strange because they looked like new clothes, but I could tell that they had been badly abused in the last few days. The man was noticeably dirty and emanated a horrendous odor. Could he be homeless? I wondered, but quickly dismissed the idea, as I knew a lot about this area and I'd never seen homeless people around here. After looking him up and down, I raised my head only to realize that his gaze was locked on me. I kept looking at him to make him uncomfortable and make him look away, but it didn't happen. His huge brown eyes were still frozen, staring at me. Instinctively, I put myself against the wall of the elevator and avoided looking at him all the way. Even though it was only three floors, I felt like I was trapped in that elevator for an eternity. As soon as I reached my floor, I waited a few seconds and got off quickly, as if to prevent him from following me. Far from that being his intention, he just kept looking at me while the door closed, and I breathed in peace. When I got home, the bad experience with this man was ingrained in my head. It was as if his gaze had been tattooed in my memories. I didn't want to think about it anymore, so I took a shower and went in the direction of my video games. On the way, my mom stopped me. She's not the type of person who has a problem with video games being violent or ruining my life, but she was very authoritative with the chores around the house. When it happened, she told me that I could play the games and still enjoy my summer, but first I had to go down to the grocery store to buy a few things for dinner. A little angry at having to go out again, I jumped almost from floor to floor down the stairs and went to the grocery store. There were only a few people, so I was able to get back to my apartment quickly. I contemplated taking the stairs, but the bags were too heavy, and and the shower had relaxed my body after the game. As I got into the elevator, I looked around and, phew, it was empty. I took a deep breath of relief and pushed the button for the third floor. I leaned against the wall and relaxed on my way home, but the ride was abruptly interrupted on the second floor. The elevator stopped and its doors opened, but there was no one on the other side. I relaxed again and settled back into the small space. But before the doors closed, a huge figure slipped through the side of the door. It was the man with whom I had earlier shared that horrible journey. With two long, timid steps, he stood at the other end of the elevator without looking at me. Meanwhile, the doors closed again, and the elevator continued on its way. Even though I was still sharing the elevator with this person, at least this time, he wasn't looking at me. So I thought happily that the trip would just go by quicker. The elevator passed quickly through the second floor, and I could already imagine myself inside my house. But destiny had other plans. The elevator stopped halfway, and the lights turned red. What started as a moment of confusion quickly turned to despair. And a few seconds later, when I saw my companion, despair turned to fear. The man next to me was now looking at me, but he was certainly reacting to what was happening. His body began to shake frantically, and he began to breathe heavily. Was he having a panic attack? At the time, I thought he was scared, as I was, and perhaps I had misjudged him. These thoughts were diluted when I saw his face. His eyes were wide open, his nose was huge, and he looked like he was hyperventilating. But what scared me the most was the huge smile he had. At the very moment I saw his smile, a lot of things crossed my mind. What was the man doing on the second floor if he kept going up? Why didn't he press any buttons when he got into the elevator? Both answers were obvious. The man was not going to visit anyone, nor did he live in the apartment. After a few seconds of being trapped in the elevator, the man raised his head and looked back at me, still with his smile twisted and his body trembling. At his gaze, a shiver ran through my body. I wanted to cry, to scream, to defend myself. I knew this person was going to try and hurt me, and there was no one there to stop him. Recognizing my weakness, the man lunged desperately towards me and cornered me in the corner of the elevator. He didn't need a weapon to intimidate me. His cruel smile and eyes full of anger were enough. Cornering me, the man began to breathe heavily. I could smell a putrid odor coming from his mouth, while the drool coming out of it touched my bare legs. Prepared for whatever fate this man had planned for me, I squeezed my eyes tightly shut, waiting for anything to happen. Anxiety overcame me, and I opened my eyes, and he was right there, glued to my face. In response to me opening my eyes, the man screamed violently in my face and started scratching me wildly. As if by magic, the light came back on and the elevator continued its course. This person didn't seem to care as he continued to dig his icy, filthy fingernails all over my body while I curled up crying. Suddenly, I heard the elevator doors open, and as I lost consciousness, I saw a blur as many policemen rushed at the man. Several hours later, I woke up in the hospital. I had cuts all over my body, but apparently, I had passed out from a nervous breakdown. Several months later, my parents told me that this man was a mentally ill man who escaped during a power outage. This man was known for killing teenagers in very violent ways, and shortly after he caught me, he confessed that he had every intention of murdering me. This man was recognized in my apartment, and they locked the elevator on purpose, not knowing that I was there with him. There were no security cameras. I never again dare to get on an elevator. Whenever I can, I take the stairs. Even though a few years later I found out this man had died, I feel that in every elevator I go, somehow, he will be there, waiting for me.
My husband, Brendan, contracted a weird disease with a long name I can't remember. It was terrible. His body was rotting from the inside out. Every day was excruciatingly painful, and even though it was curable, the medicine was way more expensive than I could afford. We were living in a small apartment in the cheaper estates. We were living an okay life, like any other couple in our apartment complex. I work nights and do overtime to make up for our bills and the medicines required. It hurts me to watch him physically die. I'm trying so hard and taking every shift I can get to help. One day, I was returning from my night duty as a bartender in uptown New York. It's quite far away from our apartment complex, but the job pays well, and I can drink some free cocktails, so what the heck, why not? I also got my husband's meds refilled from the CVS nearby, and got myself some pizza and OJ. I mean, this was the only thing that was grounding me in reality, but for some reason, things didn't feel right. I reached the elevator. Something wasn't right. Nothing was right. The air was colder than I liked, and the tension was so thick I could be sliced with a knife. I never liked the elevator, but today it was super creepy. Suddenly, I saw all the buttons are pressed, and I felt the presence of someone. I froze, but then I turned back to check, and I was horrified. I drank some of the orange juice to cut back on the alcohol from the tequila I had after my shift. I can hold my alcohol, but now I felt it. I wanted to throw up, and I pressed on the button 4 multiple times to try and get to our floor a bit faster, but it was unsuccessful. After that, I blacked out. I heard people banging the door and felt light in my eyes. I was escorted out near my door. My neighbors, the 4 young men who lived across from us, took me near my door and then tried to wake me up to consciousness. When I woke up, I reacted violently, but I was given some water and calmed down. They asked me about my condition, but when I told them, 3 of them laughed, while another, the 4th man with tattoos, just smiled knowingly. He knew something that I, or for that matter, even his roommates, did not know. When I came back home, I brushed my teeth and chatted with my husband, and he complained about monsters in the closet. Now, this is weird. I know nothing is normal now, but aren't 26-year-olds a little too old for closet monsters? I tried to talk him out of it, but he was adamant. I wanted to talk science and logic to him, but I could not dismiss him completely after that incident. After a nice little nap and a wrap-up with my chores, I had to go to work, and I did not like the idea of using the elevator, but I cannot use the stairs. I am afraid of them. They make me feel restless. But the elevator was equally troublesome. Anyways, I just took the elevator, and then it was worse. This time, I saw a man having a scary aura with a smell reeking of alcohol and rotten meat. I tried to take off, but this man held me by my wrist and pushed me into the elevator. He tried to choke me while pressing number 4 on the elevator, and I could not move away from him. He was stronger. He whispered in my ear, "There were crimes done before, and there will be done till the day your so-called home is not free from me. I live here so no one else can." I felt I was dying, but the only thing I could think of was the safety of Brendan. Finally, after some struggling, he left me, and I ran towards my apartment. I turned around and saw a script. It said, "My den shall never be yours, and most importantly, he will die and then you will." I couldn't take this lightly anymore. Supernatural might be real. I decided to do some research. I went to a cafe and used a laptop to get some history behind our apartment. Why did we get that apartment for so cheap? Why was it called our den? Turns out that the apartment had a cruel history. The reason why we could find this apartment at such a low price was that this was a place where multiple people committed suicide. All of them experienced the same thing. A man overlooking them when they were sleeping. And if anyone stayed up all night to keep a watch, would either die by weird diseases or would kill themselves. I wish I would have done my research seriously, but now I have no time. I called the police, but they were dismissive. After a lot of convincing, I managed to let them search my house. This is where things got weird. A crime scene cleaner was called, and he peeled something that looked like wallpaper from the ceiling. After some investigation, I hear them say, "Yep, human." I was like, "What? What's human?" They said these are human skins. That is exactly what it is, not wallpapers.
That apartment was that of some local celebrity woman who killed her husband because she had an affair with another man. She mixed sleeping pills in his food, and when he slept, she called her boyfriend and cut his body into many pieces. He was alive when she did it. She hid his bones and body parts there. She started to enjoy every night there. One day, she was bathing, and the ghost of her husband appeared, and he killed her in the bathtub. Since then, his ghost started to bother everyone who stays in that apartment.
The apartment was cleaned up, and the young men who were my neighbors were called for evidence. This is where things got weirder. There was only three. When I asked them about the fourth one, they denied his existence. I described him, and they denied his existence. So, then I hired a sketcher and gave him a description. When I took the sketch to the cops, it got weird. Turns out this sketch looked like the husband of the celebrity. Now I kind of did the two and two together, and then realized something. He wanted to avenge his death. We moved away from that place, and Brendan's health started to improve. This incident happened 3 years ago, and now Brendan is fine. However, he does not remember a lot of those painful days. He loves horror movies, games, and stories, and laughs them off as bullshit. But I cannot. Who knows? There is another one lurking for us. And I can feel a pair of eyes.
Hello, viewers. This is Carol Jonathan. I'm 31 years old now. I'm going to tell you a true horror incident that happened to me 7 years ago. I worked in a big company in my city. I got a job, and I loved it. I used to do my work with full dedication. I had also made a friend in the office. She was very nice and hardworking, named Leslie. My coworker Norman came to me. He had proposed to me, but I refused him because I had no such feelings in my heart for him. He was a nice person, and I was his friend only, and nothing more than that. My boss, named Terrence, was very happy with my work. He proposed to me for marriage one day, and my happiness knew no bounds. He was 4 years older than me at that time. "Yes, I will. I love you too." And we hugged each other tightly. Everyone in the office congregated, and now we have a few months left for our wedding. Our office was very big, and its construction was finished 2.5 years back. There were many elevators, but I used to come and go by elevator number 2 because it was the elevator near my office desk. One day when I was going home from the office, it was 8 o'clock in the evening. I was very late due to work. My fiancé, my boss, was waiting for me outside the office. He used to drop me off often at home. So a girl came from behind. I did not know her. I thought she was probably a worker. I smiled looking at her. She also smiled looking at me. As soon as I entered the elevator, she pushed me hard, and I fell very hard inside the elevator. My hand was badly injured, and I had to get it plastered. On checking in, the whole office, nothing was known about that girl, but I did notice a locket around her neck. I was suspicious of Mr. Terrence, so I asked him about his ex-girlfriend. He told me that he had girlfriends named Monica and Anna. She wanted to marry him only for money. That's why he left them both. Now he has nothing to do with them. Norman told me that I should stay away from Terrence, but I thought he was only jealous. I was very scared. After that, some strange things started happening to me. I had a nightmare every night. I saw a man with a scar on his chest brutally strangling and torturing a woman. Sometimes I would see 2 or 3 girls being murdered brutally. That was a very unsettling moment, and creepy too. Once I went into Mr. Terrence's cabin without informing him. My friend Leslie was there too. I got a little angry seeing them together.
"Oh, honey, what happened? See this file?"
And Leslie left from there. She looked a bit upset that day. I asked her, but she didn't tell me anything. I pressed the elevator button, and the elevator door opened. Somebody's body was lying inside, and it was Leslie's body. I screamed in fear. Someone shoved down her throat brutally and stabbed her in the back. It was really unsettling. There was blood in the elevator. Everyone reached there and called the ambulance and police. Everyone was shocked. After a few days, when I was inside the elevator suddenly stopped. I got very scared. I called, but there was no network on the phone. I started to panic. Who's in the elevator? Suddenly, Leslie's ghost appeared in front of me, which was very scary to see. I was numb. Her eyes were very big, red, and her body was thin. I was blown away by fear, and I fainted there. Terrence took me to a priest, but we got no solution. My life had become a hell. I used to have nightmares every night, and that was the night when I was about to find out who that girl was. I could not see the faces of those girls clearly in my dream, and that night I could see those faces clearly for the first time. One of the girls' faces was exactly matching that of the girl who once pushed me hard in the elevator, and the locket around her neck had M written on it. Once, when it was a holiday in the office, I secretly went into the office. When I thoroughly investigated the cabin of the Terrence, I came to know about his truth there. The records of those girls, whom I had seen in my nightmare, were there, Monica and Anna. And all of them had been murdered, maybe. Then I just had to confirm that Terrence has a mark or scar on his chest. I had called him. He came. I seduced him and opened the buttons of his shirt and saw that same scar was on his chest. He was the main culprit.
What do you think? You'll investigate me and I will not even know anything? Yes, I killed both of them. Now, it's your turn.
But why did you do this? What did you get from doing this?
I have money, power. I can do whatever I want. I can buy whomever I want. I want to sleep with every girl. And after that, I love torturing and killing girls, especially those who are beautiful and smart like you, dear.
Please leave me. I won't tell anybody anything.
Your friend Leslie was having an affair with me, and I killed her because she was repeatedly threatening me that she would go and tell everyone the whole truth. And Anna was pretty and shy. I tortured her to death, cut her throat, and I kept her in my secret room. Next is you, baby. I killed Monica, too. I loved her so much. At that time, the construction work in the office was going on. I was talking to my partner at the time, and that partner was none other than Norman. He knew absolutely everything about my truth. I gave him a lot of money just to shut his mouth, so she heard everything and started blackmailing me. I tried to kill her, but she escaped and went inside the elevator, which was not working. She started panicking and hitting the walls of the elevator. And suddenly, the elevator fell down hard and she died at the spot. And in this way, I escaped from the police and her death proved to be an accident.
When he was telling me all those things, I saw the opportunity and picked up the pod kept there and hit him on his head. I quickly ran from there. I pressed the elevator button and I went inside the elevator. I quickly came to the floor below. I forgot to call the police, and he had snatched my phone. And I again saw the spirit of Monica and Anna over there. I begged them to help me. So as soon as Terrence went inside the elevator, it stopped in the middle. He was yelling,
"Help! Help!"
I came out. Suddenly, the spark flared up, and the whole elevator started burning in the fire, and I could hear his screams very loudly. I tried to save him, but he could not survive. I ran away from there and called the police with the help of a stranger outside the office.